Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Tuesdays at this time, we'd like to get you a little of the latest medical information, questions, and answers. Here's Dr. Michael Bauer, the medical director at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Is it true, doctor, does an apple a day really do me that much good?
It's not a bad thing. It's part of getting your recommended at least 5 fruits and vegetable servings in for a day. So not a bad thing. I was waiting to hear, though, John, how many doctors does it take to screw in a light bulb? I wonder if one of your listeners has that one.
What do you know the answer to that? Is there a standard punchline that you physicians all know?
I do not, but I'm waiting for somebody to come up with one.
Okay. 312-981-7200. You might not like this, but I think the answer will go something like this. How many doctors does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer goes something along the lines of, it depends on what my insurance policy says. Or
or if my malpractice carrier says I can even do that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We can't get anybody to do that anymore. The insurance rates are too high. But since we're on that tangent, is that a big issue? I know it was a few years ago. I remember talking about this before the pandemic. Does malpractice insurance make it difficult for some doctors to practice?
It can in some of the subspecialties. For the most part, those things have leveled off in recent times and are not impediments for most doctors practicing. There was a time, especially for neurosurgeons and a lot of my obstetrical colleagues, yeah, where they were actually crossing the border, going up north or a little bit to the east and west because rates were much cheaper there. But that tends to have stabilized now.
Out of Illinois, as you're talking.
That is correct.
I've got a bunch of questions from our listeners. They've already texted in or ones that we had from last week. But what's the top of the page for you, at least as far as how we're doing this winter with the flu and COVID and everything else?
Well, the so-called triple-demic, where we had COVID, influenza, and RSV, fortunately, the numbers are dramatically dropping off now, especially for influenza and RSV. So we are enjoying a bit of a respite from the triple-headed respiratory threat right now. COVID numbers, they're still around, but tend to make up less of our hospitalizations now. So hopefully the worst of those respiratory threats are behind us as we head out of the end of winter.
And where are we on the boosters now? Is another one coming up? Is there another one in development? What's the status of that?
Oh, they're constantly looking at developments. Remember, as we develop more and more mutations in different strains, they will look to tweak the vaccines to make them a bit more effective, including potentially combining it with a yearly influenza shot. Right now, we still have the bivalent booster. The original vaccine was considered monovalent against the original strain. The bivalent includes the BA4 and BA5 Omicron strains, and we encourage anybody that's eligible to get it, especially if you are over age 50, and especially if you are 60 or older. Very, very important to help keep you protected.
Wasn't the latest strain the one that was the most contagious but the least injurious or dangerous that way? Is that what happened?
Survival of the fittest of the virus. As we see more and more mutations, they tend to be more infectious, meaning it's easier to get into our cells and infect them, and therefore they become more contagious and more easily spread. But fortunately, what we see is tending to be less severe over time. I do want to caution everybody that less severe does not equate to there is no danger, especially for those most susceptible.
It's a Heart Health Month. Do you have any general thoughts about that, how we're doing or what we should be doing?
Boy, as Americans, I think we can be doing a better job with taking care of our heart health. It boils down to all of the basics: healthy diets, just like we talked about, getting in your recommended servings of fruits and vegetables, cutting back on those things that are not heart healthy, getting more exercise, and paying attention to our general health. All of those equate to better cardiac health.
I wonder which is the most, if you prioritize those, if you asked Americans to do one thing, and let's skip stop smoking because that's obvious, would it be diet? Would it be cut back on salt or fat foods, that sort of thing?
Stop smoking. It's still obvious and it's still number one. Number two is diet. People that lean more towards a Mediterranean type diet generally have healthier cardiovascular health. There's no question about that. And even those that still like their steaks and their meats, cutting back on portions can go a long, long way. So diet number one, followed closely by exercise as well.
Mm. By the way, I appreciate what you said about smoking. I said, forget smoking, but you said, no, it's smoking. And I think that message comes through loud and clear. How do you feel about vaping then? Is more kids now are vaping than are smoking, to say nothing of the general population. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, it's not a good habit. There's absolutely nothing good that comes out of it. People forget about 2 to 3 years ago when we had vapes that were laced with oils and other substances causing those pulmonary deaths. Remember that? We had a lot of unfortunate adolescent deaths from that. We know that adolescents that tend to vape are also having higher rates of other substance use and experimenting with other things. So my strong recommendation is don't start. I ask all my patients, tell me why you do it. What benefit do you get from it? Most of the time, I'm met with a blank stare. I don't know. I just like doing it. So if you don't start, you don't have to quit. And if you have started, we have ways of helping our youth quit.
I want to get some callers and more of our text messages in. 312-981-7200 for Dr. Michael Bauer, the medical director at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Real quick, doctor, just what advice do you have for people that are traveling this spring?
Don't be afraid to travel. That I think everybody's looking to break out of the COVID pandemic and do some things that may have limited us. But be smart. It's very, very important. You have to pay attention. Where are you going? What are illness rates there? Most importantly, get up to date on all of your vaccinations. COVID, flu, and any others. Very, very important. Personally, I still recommend wearing a mask during this winter travel season when you're on an airplane, and be meticulous about your hand washing, especially if you're going on a cruise. There's lots of things besides COVID, like norovirus outbreaks, that you don't want to be away and get sick. So meticulous attention to good hand washing, good hygiene, being up on your vaccinations, masking when indicated, all should provide for some pretty safe travel.
Yeah, we were on a cruise one time, well, many times, and it seems like they're more cognizant of the touch than the respiratory sort of things. Maybe that's changed since COVID, but I mean, they were always wiping down the rails, and sometimes they wouldn't even let you dish the food yourself. They would do it for you. They were minimizing the touch a lot of times.
Absolutely correct, and that was to predominantly spread those gastrointestinal illnesses like norovirus that are contact touch, and it's a very hardy virus that can resist regular alcohol and hand sanitizers. Mm. That's why they were always cleaning with bleach and asking everybody to wash their hands before going into the dining areas.
Lots of our listeners, I'll just read through some of them. They're all versions of the same question. 8630, is it recommended to get a second bivalent booster if it's been more than 6 months? John, when can we get? My last booster was in September. Hey, my last booster was September. Should I get another booster soon? What are you telling all these people?
You know, they're currently modifying all of the booster recommendations. The most important thing is to have gotten your bivalent booster. If you are in an immunocompromised state, remember, you are eligible to get more of them than the general public is. The bivalent is that new one that we talked about. If it's been more than 2 months since your previous COVID booster, if it was a regular one, or since your last COVID infection, go ahead and get that bivalent booster.
Okay.
Once you've had that one, though, yeah, there are not recommendations for ongoing continuing boosters. Those will be forthcoming in the not-too-distant future.
September, October, November, December, January, February. So 6 months ago, I had the bivalent. I don't need to get another one now. Don't panic. That's what you're telling me, right?
That is correct. Unless, and it's something you want to discuss with your physician, if you are at high risk, they're under different protocols.
Hey, John Williams, does heart health, which the doctor talked about, still include taking one baby aspirin a day? What's the general wisdom on that?
That very interesting, getting out of my realm as a pediatrician a bit. A lot of my internal medicine colleagues still recommend taking a baby aspirin a day. When you look at some of the latest studies for people that are not at risk and without other underlying conditions, that has to some extent gone away with the basic recommendation that it may not be helpful for everyone. So once again, you have to look at your own individual health risks and speak to your provider or physician about it. But it's no longer a universal recommendation for everyone.
But say you've got high blood pressure, what are some of the factors, some history maybe in the family, then maybe, right? Baby aspirin a day is still a good idea?
Remember, what does baby aspirin do? It helps prevent the formation of clots, of some of the things in our blood sticking together that then clog the arteries and can lead to heart attacks, strokes, etc. So for some people, it is a good idea. However, you have to be very cautious if you're on any other type of blood thinner, yeah, or any other medication interaction.
Hey, Steve, do the light bulb joke for us. We got to go, but you're my last or my only call on this today. What do you got?
I have. Why don't doctors change, or how many doctors do a change a light bulb?
Yeah.
None. They'd let the nurses take care of it. Now, I know that's not mug worthy, but that's t-shirt worthy.
Hey, you work that out with Pete. And Dr. Bauer, we sure appreciate your time today.
No problem. That one would get me in a lot of trouble with my nursing colleagues if I ever suggested that. So,
exactly.
Guys,
thank you for joining us. Although they might say, well, that joke is spot on, which is what I think you're acknowledging there.